Hi, this is Ken McCarthy with PlantWisdom.org, and we have a very special guest today. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time. His name is Baba Rahsaan Abdul Hakim. Among other things, he's the author of Basic Herbs for Health and Healing. He's also the owner of Sundial, which is an iconic location in the Bronx, provides herb knowledge, herbs, and their own blend of different formulas for people. So I recommend that people go take a visit up there sometime, and I'll be giving the address later. But right now, I would like to welcome Baba Rahsaan.
Greetings. Welcome. Greetings.
Well, it's really great to talk. It's great to talk with you. And before we get into the full interview, I want to address something because the topic is very timely. As some of our listeners may know, New York State has started their medical marijuana program. And there's so much talk about this, but there's not a lot of wisdom about it. And one thing I noticed is that they're expecting that the treatments for people that are able to access medical cannabis is going to be somewhere between $300 and $1,000 per month. Mm. And I'm thinking, wow, you could grow a lot of plants for that amount of money. I don't know why it's so expensive, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about on the call.
Yeah.
But the thing that I want to talk about right away is something that I found in your book, Basic Herbs, which I found really amazing, and it just struck me intuitively as true and important. And it has to do with the use of cannabis as medicine. We're going to talk about this later in the interview, but you've studied this all over the world. But specifically in your book, you talk about sensimia, which for people that don't know, it's female plants that have been deprived of the male plant.
Yeah.
And so they develop huge chemical imbalances, I guess,
yeah,
really, if you talk the truth about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, because a lot of people are smoking it and they think it's great and all this.
Yeah.
What's your experience or your insight into this?
Well, the sensimilla they obstruct the natural development of the plant as a living entity, which requires a male and a female to reproduce itself and to keep the structure of the plant in balance at the same time. You see, when you deprive the female plant from getting pollinated by ripping out the male plants, it's like a woman would go into a kind of a tantrum, like she go into a hormonal imbalance type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as to associate with the plant, that's the closest you can get to what it calls anxiety in the plant, where the plant will keep on just like producing the resin, the gum musky stuff, to try to catch whatever pollen that might be in the air, you see. And when that do happen, the plant get frustrated. So when you smoke a plant like that now, you're going to find that you're not going to have, you're going to find you're going to lose your push. You'll lose that energy like. You'll take on the characteristics of the plant. Like you won't have nothing like becomes important to you. Like you'd have to do something, but you don't do it because your whole structure is unbalanced. Your mental processes, your physical body, especially the nervous system, because the plant works specifically with the nervous system. And once that nervous system becomes unbalanced, then anxiety set in.
Mm-hmm.
Where you'll have things to do and you don't have the willpower to do it. You just want to sit around and chill out and take it easy because you don't have that nervous energy. It's out of balance. So you don't have the get up and go. When you're smoking the sensimilla, nature balance everything. The natural laws of nature balance everything in a way where it is, we can utilize it to its fullest. Once you obstruct the process of that, of how nature do it, like you have a hybrid apple. A hybrid apple can never balance your system. It might give you a lot of minerals and this and that, but it's going to have a negative effect overall on the system, you know, because it's not going to fit in. What you're getting is not going to fit in to your makeup. So you go, it will keep you off balance. Either you're going hyperactive or you're going to be too chilled out or something like that.
So if I understand correctly, and I've never heard anybody say this, but it makes so much sense. People that are familiar with this process know that the reason people pull the male plants is so the female plant will make more resin. And,
yes.
Oh, isn't that a great thing? But we don't think about the plant as being a being. We don't even care. Oh, well, with the plant suffering, who cares?
It's a living being that has a spirit. It has a healing spirit. And it's always, even when you're picking a plant, you shouldn't just go and break off a stem from a plant and pick it like that, because the plant goes into shock and it automatically pulls everything to the root. So you might be getting some green bush, you know, like it won't have the amount of potential it has. When, if you go up to a plant, you know, and you hold on to the leaf and you just meditate with it, it is giving you, it is diagnosing, that plant is diagnosing your whole body. Healing spirit of that plant starts to diagnose you, you know, and see if it, what's wrong with you, and will put into that leaf the right balance that you need. Then you just break off that stem and you'll make tea with that. Now, every day you go back to that same plant, you don't have to do that anymore, because from you come, that plant pick up your frequency and will just put everything that you need into that plant. At that time, you pick it and you go. See, so plants, the way we angle plants now makes a big difference in the potential of the plant and the benefits we get from the plant. See, like mass production of plants, where you mass product and you have machines that chop them down and powder them up, It drains the magnetic energy from the plant. Certain elements start to dissipate at a faster rate, you know. So we should try to learn, like our ancestors, learn how to recognize the plants so that we can go there and harvest them for ourselves when they are in their season. Because just like a fruit tree have season, herbs have season also. Some herbs you pick in the springtime, some herbs you pick in the summertime, some herbs you pick in the fall, you know, because the whole system of nature is designed that way, just like we are in that same harmony also, you see. So it's a lot of things that you learn as you grow up, you know. Like I grew up in Jamaica. In our culture, they pick a healer and a prophet. Well, they picked me to be the healer, and you are taught from a little child coming up, you are taught how to recognize the plant. If someone is sick, they will send you outside at night time, say, brother, go get this plant, go, your sister have a bellyache, go get me some pepper elder. Now you have to learn, after a while you learn how to recognize that plant by touch and by smell and taste, because at night time you can't see it. So you just have to go through and you touch and you smell till you find the plant. So you get that thorough training with coming up from a traditional standpoint, not from like a Western medical standpoint, where they'll isolate an element from a plant and take it out and then give you, because that is the one that's good for so and so. But you need the other ones to balance it out, balance everything out, and make the one that you need works more effectively. So like pills and things, herbs in pill form, and we should try not to use them, you know. Sometimes in the city it's hard, but try your best. And if you're going to use a pill, when you're going to use a pill, call upon the healing spirit of the plant to re-enter that, and then you take it.
So this is a totally different relationship to the plants than a lot of people have in mind. So, for instance, and we'll just talk about this Sensimilla thing a little bit more, and then we'll go on to get into this deeper. But if you look at the plant as just a machine or something that's just there for us, that has no soul, has no intelligence, well, then you don't care. You plant it, you pull the male plants, you know, who cares, you know?
Yeah.
And you're pointing out that people that do that are actually consuming an unbalanced plant, a plant
unbalanced,
that's disturbed.
Yes.
And that's gonna bring disturbance to the user of the plant.
Yes, it causes a nervous imbalance within the person that use it, and it's not as effective. You know, it's not going to be that effective. It will get benefit, but it's not going to be that effective. Because the frequency is different. It's two different frequencies.
Yeah, I had an experience with a mint plant. It was growing outside of my house, and I was feeling a little sick, and I just picked a tiny leaf, very small, and I ate it, and it gave me great vitality, that one little leaf.
Yes.
And then I was in a city, and I thought, well, I'm going to do more of that. And I went, and they had hydroponically grown that mint, and it was beautiful leaves, very green.
Yes.
But it had no flavor. It had no essence. It had nothing. So I really see what you mean.
I know.
So,
yes.
So when we're talking with Baba Rasan, we're talking with somebody that has a different view of plants. He's not looking at them as chemical factories. He's looking at them as living beings. And on this call, I'd like to get into how he got these insights. We already have some idea from his early training as a child. So we're probably going to talk a little bit about the Bronx, a little bit about Jamaica,
yes,
a little bit about Africa, and a lot about the spiritual side and being side of plants. So you started out saying that you grew up in Jamaica?
Yes, yes. I grew up in Jamaica, in the country.
In Summerhill,
a place known as Summerhill. Most of the time, that's where I was, especially in the summertime. And you grow up there, and that's where you get your foundation. That's where you learn about the herbs. You learn about how to live in harmony with the land. We never have shop where I grew up. I never seen a shop up there in the country. We don't have shops. So everything you eat, everything you drink, everything you use came right off the land. You see? Morning time, when you get up, your grandmother give you a bag and say, now, go bring me 2 avocados and 2 coconuts and dig up some sweet potato when you come in. If you see any ripe bananas, cut off a ripe banana, bring. You know, she tell you what she's going to need for that day.
Mm-hmm.
On the way, you might stop and eat a mango. You might see a 2 ripe tangerine, you know. You might eat 2 ripe bananas. By the time you get back home and breakfast time, you're belly full. You already had your breakfast out there. But you're not gonna refuse your breakfast. You're gonna keep your breakfast till lunchtime. So it's a lifestyle. Herbalism is a lifestyle.
In your case, the training came from, did you say, your grandmother?
My grandmother, and my aunt Rose, and my mother. 3 women. Most of my training came from women. My mother, my aunt, my grandmother. And my cousin, all females, you know, that I grew up with. And because females carry, when it comes to things like that, females have the link to the plants. Mother Earth,
mm-hmm,
she has domination over everything. As you know, the father gave the mother domination over all the material realms in the universe. Woman rule was overthrown, and that's when everything went wild.
Huh,
once the rule of the woman was overthrown. They don't even want to, even in Christianity, they don't even want to mention the word woman, so they'd say Holy Spirit. Your father, your mother, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Your father, the son, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a father and you have a son, you have to have a mother. Where is the mother?
Wow. I never thought of that.
The mother, they had to change. When the Romans overthrew woman rule, they had to change that, you know, and
mm-hmm,
say spirit instead of mother.
But you also had a male relative. Was it your grandfather?
Yes.
Who was involved in the building?
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about him?
He was Coromanti. He came from Ghana area in West Africa. You know, he made... certain things grow in Jamaica. Said the red bougainvillea is the one that made that color through cross pollination. Lots of fruits that we have in Jamaica, he brought to Jamaica, made them grow like apples. He made apples grow in Jamaica, you know. He was a master builder at the same time. But mostly he was a farmer, you know, and a agriculturist. But he did things that with plants that no one else could do. The people used to come all over to see him and to get healed by the plants that he used to treat people with. So you sit down and you grow up with that and you hear all that, and you know, it inspired you to stick with the tradition.
And he was involved with the Hope Gardens, is that right?
Yeah, he started Hope Gardens, but later they kind of, true, he wasn't in it for the glory and all that. He did a lot of things that they didn't give him the credit for, you know. But it never bothered him because he did it out of love and out of the interest, the love he had for the whole thing. You know, he never did it for no glory or no money or nothing like that, you know.
And his name was Charles Williams?
Charles Williams the Great.
I think people are not aware of, you know, how much plant wisdom came to the Americas with the people from Africa.
Yes, yes.
You know, they just don't know that yes. genius of this. You know, for instance, you may know this, but I learned this recently, and it really was amazing to learn that all the rice growing in South Carolina that's
yes.
so famous, that all came from African agriculturists.
From the Niger Valley. The Niger
yeah.
Valley, where they brought the African red brown rice, they brought it in the ears and behind the ears, and in the ears they bought the seeds. You see, and when they came to the Americas, it wasn't just laborers that came. You know, a lot of intelligent administrators and technical people that came over here with that group also, but they was working more on another level. They were used on the administrative level and the other technical level, but the bulk was laborers, like, yeah, but the a lot was builders and all that. My grandfather was a builder. You had folks in Virginia and Carolina used to hire him to build.
Oh, yeah.
Build mansions in Virginia. He built a couple of those mansions in Virginia. He built, but he had a problem once. Someone called him a name and he took a pail of turpentine and threw on them. And they tried to jump him, but when the boss man come and he found out, he said, man, you got to leave because these guys going to come back. You know, it's lynching time.
Yeah,
and
he
gave him a boat. He had a boat, so he asked if he could use the boat, and he sailed back to Jamaica on that boat using the stars to navigate.
Really?
And from Virginia, from Virginia, from the coastline over that side, he sailed back to, on a sailboat, he sailed back to Jamaica.
To
use the stars to navigate.
Wow.
And he ran, and he came into Cuba, then once he hit Cuba, he knew he was there. Yeah, man, he did a lot of things. He was like a master builder.
He was originally from Ghana.
Yeah, yes, they came from the Coromantee people.
Ah, okay.
He descended from the Coromantee people that came from Ghana.
Now, you've done a lot of traveling yourself and a lot of research in different countries, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, especially in Ethiopia.
Ah, in Ethiopia, okay.
Yeah, Ethiopia, man. Ethiopia is a powerful place, you know.
Now, I imagine you're studying a lot of different things when you're there, but is root medicine part of it?
Herbal medicine and other things. But they have herbs like, say, all the Tenadam herb. That means the herb of Adam. That herb, man, serious herb. You drink it, it works with the nervous system. It harmonizes the entire nervous system. And link the brain with the same thing that marijuana does. Marijuana links the nervous system with the brain and move any obstructions in signals getting through to every part of the body. That's
uh-huh.
one of the main things that herb does. When you smoke it, it links the nervous system with the brain so that every cell in your body becomes, if you touch any place in your body, even with a feather, you feel it. The brain pick it up, flash it into your consciousness, let you know. Like a computer. Well, the brain is a computer, you know. When you look at the brain is a computer. It is a computer that we use to download information from the universal mind where all knowledge lies. You see, so when we need information, we use the brain, and the brain will download that information into our consciousness. That's all we know, you see?
Certain plants are helpful.
And you have plants that can tune you in, you know. tune you in. The spirit weed is one. The spirit weed is a plant that the Maroons used in Jamaica when they was fighting the British. You know, it's a plant that you, it speed up the frequency of the cells in the body. There are plants that do that, you know, speed up the frequency of the cells in your body, that you become invisible.
Wow.
The spirit weed does that. When that happened with the British, the soldiers would throw away the guns and run and say that the trees fighting them and they're getting slapped around and cast, you know, body slapped in them. So plants have potentials that we didn't even begin to deal with yet, especially that spirit weed. And it don't show itself to any and everybody.
Does it have another name besides spirit weed?
It comes out of the family of, it's in the family of one of that spice herb. It's a spice. In India, they use it as a spice.
Oh, like,
and they use it here as a spice also. I forget the name of the plant that it that's in the same family of the spirit weed.
Is that turmeric or cucumin?
Not turmeric. It's a green plant that they use. In Latin America, they use it a lot as a spice when they're cooking.
Yeah, I'll think on that.
Think about it. It's not oregano. It's another one.
Oh, cilantro?
Yes. That's
really?
The same family as the cilantro.
Interesting.
Same family as the cilantro.
You're right. When you go to Latin America, there's cilantro in everything.
Yes, yeah. It goes back to the Aztec and the Mayan peoples who used to use it, the original plant. They used to use it where they could change their frequency and go to other dimensions. Like, and you have the guango trees, another tree where the ancestors used to meet. You know, that's another tree. Sometimes when the frequency of that tree change, anybody underneath it or around it just disappear.
People may not have the background, but maybe you could tell them a little bit about this. That when you mentioned Maroons, people may not know what that is, but my understanding is that throughout Jamaica, but also Haiti and Cuba, everywhere, even in the south of the United States,
there were
African people that ran away and built their own towns in the mountains.
And they were known as Maroons too, yes.
And they had to fight to keep their freedom.
Yes.
I remember in your book, I think you mentioned that, or somewhere you mentioned that they use cayenne pepper as a chemical warfare. They'd spray it.
Yes, they'd burn it. When the wind is blowing downwind where they want it to go, they'd burn it. And when that spread, it's like tear gas.
Yeah, man,
it's like tear gas. Cayenne pepper is one of the most very important herb in healing, you know. Cayenne pepper will stop any internal bleeding you have. It will stop it both internally and externally. It thins the blood, make the blood flow easy. When nothing will normalize your blood pressure, cayenne pepper will.
I've heard it's a good quick remedy for a heart attack.
Yeah, it prevents heart attacks and it will bring you out of it. I see my grandmother do that once. A man fell out in front of where we live in St. Anne's, Summer Hill, St. Anne's. So we run and get her, and when she comes, she saw him laying. He was like knocked out. He was laying there, and she touched his heart, and couldn't feel the heartbeat. And she sent us to get the bird pepper. Bird pepper is what we call, it's cayenne pepper. We call it bird pepper. Or the birds eat it.
Ah, okay.
And she crush it up and put in a little water. Then she hold his nose and just instinct the mouth open to gasp for breath. Then she throw it down his mouth and she let go his nose and grab his mouth. And then instinctively he pulled through the nostrils to get the breath. And when he do that, whatever is in the mouth go down in the belly.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happened, she said, okay, just pull him up against the side of the road and make him just stay there. And listen to him, put your chest on, your head on his chest every now and again and tell me when his heart starts to beat. And we just sit there and watch him, and every now and again we put your head on itself. And run, we're the liquor. You don't hear nothing, then all of a sudden you hear like, boop, boop, like something trying to crank up a car. Then all of a sudden, then we run and get her. All of a sudden, just start to go right. But you run and get her, and she just come and she put her ears, and she say, okay, just pull him up to the side of the road and leave him. So get up. And we just sit there and watch him, man. We sit there as little youth. We watching him. When he get up, he didn't know what happening.
Wow.
Didn't know what was happening. So we explained to him, and then we call her, and she come, and she tell him everything all right. And him get up and walk home. Next day, his doctor came up the hill. You see, now, doctors in Jamaica, up in the rural areas, you can't call doctor.
Sure, yeah.
Because they're not going to come. So you have to know how to survive on every level, every single level. So next day the doctor come all the way up in the hills to ask her what she do. Because she say he had a massive heart attack, the doctor tell her, and he shouldn't be around. So she tell him that, well, she don't come and ask him no question, so he shouldn't come and ask her no question about what she do. She say, you do what you do and I do what I do. And the argument done at that. The argument done at that, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, but herbs are powerful things. Herbs, you can, if you're going to get a herb to use it as a medicine, you hold the herb for a little bit in your hand before you pick it. You can just break it so it pull everything to the root. If you grab a plant to break off a piece like that, all the medicinal qualities it pull to the root right away from out of that shock, that's the first thing it's going to do.
It makes such perfect sense when you say it, and nobody learns this. Nobody gets taught this. But, of course, if I'm a plant, my job is to survive.
Yes.
And if some fool... is yanking on me.
Yeah.
I'm going to run into the ground and hide under the ground, you know?
Yeah. Smell to plants communicate with you with smell, you know. If you're going to look for a plant, just meditate on it. And when you go there, if you don't see it, you're going to smell it. When you're coming near to where it is, you're going to smell it. Then you just stop and look in the area and you're going to find it. Hmm. Once you're in harmony with nature, you don't have to, you're going to look at herb. You just go out and follow your mind and just walk out into the woods. You're going to either run directly into it or you're going to smell it. It sends off an aroma to lead you in the right direction to where it is. Then when you get there, you hold the plant a little while, hold on to the leaf, and it's going to diagnose you. While you're holding on to the leaf, that plant is diagnosing everything in your body to see what is wrong, what is right. And then it's going to put exactly what you need into that leaf. That when you boil it and drink it, or in some cases, you can just chew up that leaf, right? Or just chew it up on the spot and drink some water. You're straight. So we have to, plants is, without plants, we wouldn't have nothing really.
Oh,
plants break down the sunlight. It breaks down the sunlight into a level where we can use the living sunlight to heal the body.
The view then, I think that the quote normal view that people that maybe aren't educated about this, to them plants are the, you know, grass under their feet,
yes,
or maybe there's
yes.
a tree over there. Okay, very nice, but they're not really that important. But we're looking at everything upside down.
Yes, yes.
Because they actually do all the work of creating the possibility of life for us.
Yes, yes. And it stores, you see all those big trees, they are living beings, you know. They store information of everything around there, you know. You can go to, say, if you go to all one of those big redwoods over there out west,
mm-hmm.
you can, and you just go up and hug that tree and lean up against it and just open up your mind to it and lay there. It will tell you, it will show you pictures of what the environment looked like when it was just a little plant.
Mm.
It flashed at it. You might dream it or you might just see it in your head. It will tell you things about the or as it grew up, what it saw and things that happened with it, with in its realm of where it can feel and see. So plants do a lot of things that we are not aware of right now. So we should really teach them, treat them with love and tender kindness.
And that's really the real foundation of being a traditional bush doctor.
Mm. Yes, yes.
It's not having a book that's full with information. I mean, that's helpful.
It's to live it.
Yeah, and it's the attitude.
Yes, yes. You have to live the life, you know. You know yourself as a spiritual being, right? You know yourself as a spiritual being. We are spiritual beings that has a physical body. Mm-hmm. We have to maintain the physical body, just like you maintain a car. The car, when you jump in a car, that car becomes your physical body to get you around. A body within a body. So the plants know. The vibration and frequencies that the plant give off keep us in harmony with all the natural forces in nature. We become one with that. See?
Yeah.
Once we start to disrupt it, then we are not in harmony. Right now, say cities and all these places, they weren't built in harmony with nature. So nature is disrupted by reason of the cities, the big cities, so you have abnormal weather, you know, things that we would normally get this time. Because the Creator creates, he don't destroy nothing. Creator don't make no hurricane come, and the Creator don't make no earthquake come, and the Creator don't do things like that. Negative
mm-hmm.
forces do things like that. Creator
mm-hmm.
create, the creator don't destroy, the creator create, the creator don't destroy. She gives birth to everything and keeps everything in harmony.
And so you work with people in the city, specifically up in the Bronx, to help them with various situations they have. Now, you used to have a radio show. Do you still have that radio show?
Yeah, we do a radio program on Linkage Radio. Linkage Radio, they're at 101.5 FM outside of New York.
Okay. And for people that are in that area, what time is that show on?
That come on about at 11:30 in the morning.
Is it every day? Or?
Every day.
Oh.
Every day.
And it's 101?
101.5 FM, Linkage Radio.
0.5 Linkage Radio.
Yeah, them on the internet too, but I don't know the internet number.
I'll look it up. I bet I could find it. That would be really interesting. So I'll make a link for people.
Yeah.
And then you also have the store on Boston Post Road.
And we give nature walks in the winter time.
You do.
And we show people the type of foods, the wild foods. We don't have to go to no supermarket, you know. Food is out there in abundance. There's no such thing as Mother Earth feed everybody, but we don't want the food that Mother Earth feed us, which is best for us. We want food that man manipulate and make to give to us, which is what you are, what you eat. Your food is your medicine. Medicine is your food. Imhotep the wise said that you have to eat.
So there's even food in the Bronx for people.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how they do it. But food out there. Right now, it's winter time in New York, right? But I can take a shopping bag right now, and I can go out into any wooded area and come up with a shopping bag full of food that can last me for at least a week or two.
Really? That's amazing.
Sure, it's out there. The native people used to live out there, and the Mother Earth provides for them. Same thing with us.
And you say you take people on plant walks.
Yes, yes. Survival, nature walks and survival walks. Show them the foods to eat, you know, where they can go to supermarket less and get back in harmony with the natural forces of nature.
Yep.
That's the way we're supposed to be going now, seeing that we are, right now, you see, we are at the end of a 6 million-year cycle, you know, right now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the last cycle, we are in now started 6 million years ago, and we are at the end of the 6 million years. You see, in Ethiopia,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the year, you see, they have a 13th month, which is known as Pogme.
Okay.
That is when the planet go around the sun and come back to the point where it started, it stopped for 5 days. Where it readjusts itself, it clean up itself, adjusts itself. normalize, get rid of everything that's not supposed to be there, and then it start, after 5 days it start again. Well, right now we are in the galactic Agme. We are in the second year of the galactic Agme. Right now the galaxy is at a standstill. The galactic Agme lasts for 7 years. We are in the second year of the 7 year pause of the galaxy, where the galaxy adjusts itself.
Wow.
People gonna pay, people gonna, everybody gonna reap what they have sown. Everything going to be adjusted. You see, that's why you see all this killing and fighting going on all over the world, because it's a chaotic period during this period. It's a cleaning up period, you know, where negativity going to reach its heights. But at the same time, positivity going to overcome that in this time.
Mm-hmm.
You see, then after this, you see, after this, we are in the second year of the 7 year period now. So in 5 years' time, everything going to be all right. You see?
Okay.
Now is the time, you see? The old frequency of the galaxy is rising to a higher level. Every creature in all the galaxies, everything is right. Everything, we can rise with that frequency also, but we have to do certain things to rise with that. Everybody going to rise to a higher level within the 7 years. Right?
Mm-hmm.
To different levels based on our spiritual level.
But we're
going to rise to our highest level during the 7 year period. That when the cycle starts back in 7 years' time, everybody going to be at a higher level of consciousness.
And in the meantime, we have to do
certain things to get as high as we can, as the frequency rise with it. First thing you have to do.
Gotcha.
You have to put out into the universe, right? Forgive everybody that have done anything to you, knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive them.
Mm.
Okay? And then you put out into the universe that you forgive everybody that has done everything to you. Knowingly or unknowingly, you forgive them. And once you do that, automatically your frequency moves to a higher level. Automatically, the frequency moves to a higher level, where you are moving with the rise of the frequency of the galaxy. Don't let them tell you no nonsense about this, the Earth gonna be destroyed. They didn't make the Earth. Nobody can destroy the Earth, but the Creator. And the Creator is the Creator creates. He don't destroy. Satanic forces destroy. Satanic forces bring hurricanes and earthquakes and all that. Our Creator do not do that. Our Creator creates. He don't destroy. So we have to rise with that frequency now.
In your book, you also talk about rising. You also, with frequency, you also talk about the value of rising with the dawn.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
You see, the sun, the first ray of sunlight comes over the horizon at 4 a.m. in the morning. That's when we should be up. That's when the next level higher above us, that's when the door open. And a lot of things is flowing down to us like a river, which we can just bathe in it and absorb from that sunlight, that solar energy, what we need. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. This is sunlight now. Sunlight, you know, the white light, sunlight, when going through your eyes, you know, it breaks down into 7 colors. Each system in our body needs a different color to stimulate it and balance it and to make it operate effectively. That's why we need sunlight. Oh, you see the palm of your hand and the whole body, it's a solar panel. When you stand in the sun, you can hold your palms out. Like you notice how the ancestors, when they in the morning, they used to get up and put their hands up into the air and open it wide and give thanks to the rising sun, the physical manifestation of the Almighty Creator, the sustainer and the provider, defender and protector. Heal, cleanse, strengthen, rejuvenate me, bring me to my natural harmony and state of good health. Our ancestors used to do that prayer every morning and absorb the sunlight. The sunlight is a physical manifestation of the sun. mm-hmm. S-O-N.
Mm.
That the Almighty, that the Creator sent to guide us and give us the doctrine that bring us to this point now. Now we're going to get the next lesson. Now, those who pass this lesson after the galactic rise, after 7 year rise of the galactic energy, some of us going to pass the test and move to a higher level of consciousness. Some of us, if we don't really firm up on things, then we might have to go through the whole class again to learn the lesson before we can pass to the next level. We are in a class now, you know. We are in a school. Physical plane is a school. If we fail the test, we have to reincarnate and come back and pick up where we left off, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we don't pass again, we have to come. Just like when you go to school, if you don't pass the test at the end of the term, you have to come back in the class and start over again before you can pass to the next level, the next class, or in this case, the next level of consciousness, which we're supposed to pass through. So,
yeah,
so these are things that the old thing of herbalism, and that is all into this, it's all fit into this puzzle, you know. It's part of the steps we have to take. We're on this physical plane to bring us to a higher level of consciousness. So we can pass the test and move on to the next level. So we have to really, you know, this is a time, we are at a point now. 6 million years we made a mistake and destroyed ourselves and destroyed a lot of stuff, and we were set back. Now we are at the same point we was when we made that mistake 6,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to see if over this period, if mankind has learned the lesson yet that he's going to make the right decision at this point. Within these 7 years, mankind has the potential to make the right decision, going to take the physical plane, take us to a whole nother level of consciousness.
So it's a critically important time right now.
Very important time we are in now. Now is when we're supposed to be really making that supreme effort, because we are at a critical, we can, so that we don't make the same mistake we made the last 6 million years, the end of the last 6 million year cycle. We didn't make the right decision, and we destroyed ourselves. We are the survivors of those that took it forward. Now we are here again. Now we're taking the test right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we fail the test, we're going to get set back again.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring a lot of destruction, disease, all kind of things we're going to bring on us if we don't wake up and, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do unto others as you have others do unto you. Judge not, lest ye be judged. These precepts that the Messiah gave us to live by, seven precepts going right. God, the Messiah was a Buddhist. Those years that the Messiah was absent from, he was 12 years old to when he came back, when he was 30. He was up in Tibet reasoning with the high masters of the earth, setting up the plans that to take us where we are now. And then he came and did the preaching, pass on the doc. He was a healer. He was a healer. 90% of what he does is heal the sick.
That's true. If you actually read the Bible, he was a bush doctor. Yeah,
sure, he was a bush doctor. He healed people and he gave these precepts. Look here, the Creator don't need your prayers, you know. The Creator do not need your prayers. The Creator need you to abide by the law and get the blessing. Creator don't need prayer. What the Creator need your prayer for? You pray to strengthen your... When I pray to strengthen my faith. When you pray to strengthen your faith. Because the Creator don't need your prayer. He need you just to abide by the law so you can get the full benefit of everything.
So
we have to remember that we are spiritual beings. Not physical. We are spiritual beings with a physical garment that we wear on this phase of our existence. If you're going down under the water, don't you have to put on a physical garment so they can see things and touch things and, you know, right?
Right, right.
You're going out in outer space, you have to put on a garment so you can live out there and see things and hear things and touch things. Well, same when we was coming back, when we was reincarnated back into this planet, we were given a physical garment, which is a physical body. We live in this physical body, and we get a guideline. Just like if you buy a Toyota car, they give you a guideline. Give it this kind of gas, give it this kind of oil, give it this kind of grease, this type
sure,
of water.
Sure. Maintain it at certain times. Yeah,
man
yeah.
can't fix you. Man didn't make you. Man can't fix you. The one who make you already tell you what to do. I give you all plants and grasses bearing seed for food. You have seeds you can cook. You have seeds you can eat raw. You have seeds like millet, sorghum, quinoa, all those kind of ancient grains, you know, barley, oats that you can use, you can cook. And you have seeds you can eat raw.
Mm-hmm.
Always make sure you are eating more raw seeds than cooked seeds.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then it comes to fruits now. You see, I give you all fruits with seed in it for meat. Make sure you have seed fruits you can cook, like pumpkin, squash, breadfruit, plant. All these are fruits. Then take a pick off a tree and eat the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You have fruits you can cook. You have fruits you can eat raw. Always make sure you are eating more raw fruits than cooked fruits for the reason that raw seeds and cooked seeds rebuilds the body on the cellular level, thereby stabilizing and slowing down the aging process. Cooked and processed foods just supply like gasoline, which it burn up to drive things, make things run and keep things warm, etc. That's what cooked food do.
Okay.
And we must always make sure we're eating foods with seed in it. A hybrid, you are what you eat. If you eat a pig, you're going to behave like a pig, look like a pig, and take on the characteristics of the pig. If you eat animal, you're going to take on the characteristics of animal. You are what you eat. Make sure you're eating fruits with seed in it, because a fruit without a seed is impotent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you eat that fruit, you're going to become impotent also. You're going to have problems with your reproductive system if you're eating seedless fruits. So you should never eat seed, any food that man tamper with.
And, of course, most of the food now is tampered with.
Yes, so you just have to try to get a knowledge of the wild fruits, because they are abundant. There are so much wild food out there, you know, so that it can more supplement your diet now, the wild vegetables, the wild tubers, the wild seeds like the acorn and all them kind of seeds that we have out there that we can eat and cook and eat raw and all that.
I was reading, I forget the name of the book, but it was about agriculture in Africa and how it came to the New World. And it said in Africa, people, they'd have their sorghum, but then they'd go out into the woods to get greens to mix with their regular food. That was a normal, everyday part of life. Nobody would think they could just live on sorghum.
That's right. They'd went out and get the greens. Yeah, you're right. And I tell you, any street you walk down here in the United States, any street you walk down, you can pick greens to eat raw and to cook.
People are surprised to hear that, but I know it's true. I know it's true.
Sure,
We call them weeds, but that's just a name. That's just a name that we put
just
on
a
it.
Name.
Yeah.
My children, they grew up. I used to go and pick wild berries. I never buy berries. Summertime, I never buy berries or vegetables. They eat wild vegetables and wild berries.
Mm.
And other things like acorns, the black lotus, the seeds that the black lotus plant grow. You cook those just like lentils. Abundance of things out there to eat. You can never, Mother Earth provide for us, don't care what they say, in abundance. You know, look at the black birch. Black birch, when you take off the outer bark, you know, it have the inner bark, which you can cut in strips, you know, and cook it like spaghetti.
Really?
You cook it come just, the inner bark of the birch, the black birch especially. And you can also use that as like you'd use plaster Paris. If you get a broken bone, you just take that inner bark. When you take it out, it's flexible, you know, like rubber.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wrap it around the fracture area. And when that dry like a rock.
Wow.
Tighter than plaster Paris. You don't need no plaster Paris to set a fracture.
Wow.
And the birch has the medicinal qualities that seep into the wound at the same time and heal it.
Mm-hmm.
And knit back the bone, just like comfrey, the Indians, them used to use comfrey root to do that. They call comfrey root knit bone. Knit bone, that means if you have a fracture, you know, and you drink 3 cups of comfrey root every day, you know, when that bone heal back, you know, it's stronger than when it did before it breaks. Strong. That's why native people call the comfrey knit bone.
Well, then that raises an interesting point, because when the European people came to North America or Latin America, South America, there were millions of people living here. they were very healthy and they were very strong. And how did they do it? They didn't have supermarkets. They didn't have hospitals. They didn't have special medical facilities. And I wonder if you can comment on this too. One thing that I read recently that makes so much sense is that the African people in the West absorbed a lot of the Native American plant wisdom when they arrived. Do you have any experience
with
that?
Yes, that is correct, because you see, when I came here, right, the first thing I did, I asked, you know, I see a tree and I asked somebody, hey, what that tree name? Because where I come from, everybody knew the names of all the trees and what they were good for and everything. And it amazed me how nobody knew the name of the trees.
Right.
So
right.
Then I said, okay, well, I go find out. And then I start to go to the library and look over the trees and the books and thing and get a knowledge of the plants up here. And there are some up here have food. Everywhere you look is food.
Mm.
You know, but most people just not aware of it. Like I say, in summertime and springtime, I don't buy vegetables and berries and fruits. My children grow up on wild fruits and wild berries, which I would go out and pick in the mornings and bring home, and every day them have, based on which berries, it's blackberry, raspberry, all kind of chokeberry, all kind of berries, as the season go. And you see, when you eat in according to season, every season, the plants put into that fruit what you need at that time of the year. That's why it's best to eat fruits that in season, or if it's the plant that the country where it come from, it was in season when they pick it. Always try to eat your fruits in season, not out of the season. That's when they are at the fullest. You can't make an apple grow out of season. It's not going to be right. It's going to be unbalanced, because it need angle of sun. The angle of the sun have a effect on the food. That's why you can move a food from one country and take it to a next country and plant it where it's not native. It will grow, but when you check both of them, the one that grew in the original country going to be superior on every level to the one that was grown outside of its native environment.
Mm-hmm. And there's still plenty of native plants growing, even in a place like the Bronx.
Yeah, sure, lots of plants, and food, food. See all burdock root, you can get burdock root, soak it in vinegar, you know, and prepare it for meat, curry it, do any kind of thing you want to do with it. Lots of things out there to eat. So we don't have to worry about food. We just have to start getting the knowledge of what's out there in the bosom of nature, which Mother Earth provides for us. But we want to eat what man provides. Man didn't make us, man can't fix us. It's just like they're going to give us drugs, but the Almighty give us herbs and the natural forces in nature to heal us. Look at the breath of life. You can bring down your blood pressure right now just by doing 11 breaths. You can take your pressure right now, breathe 11 times, pulling through the nostrils, slowly, hold it for a few seconds, out through your mouth slowly, anybody have blood pressure out there can do that right now. By the time you reach 14 breaths or earlier, your blood pressure going to be down, your heartbeat going to be regulated, circulation of your blood going to normalize, plus you're going to get that pranic energy from the oxygen that's going to energize and vitalize your entire body, and it's going to oxygenate the brain and improve everything. Everything we need is available to us free. Sunlight, fresh air, water, all these are available to us free.
And you know, one on that topic, one maybe last thing we could talk about that brings all this together is there's an epidemic of asthma, especially among children.
Yeah, well, got asthma. Asthma is one of the easiest things to cure. Any doctor that can't cure asthma within 14 days is just playing a game with you. Asthma is accumulation of mucus in the breathing passages from the type of foods we're eating. That mucus blocks the air from going into the lungs. If you get excited and that things tighten up, it's even less air, so you're going to go into what is known as an asthma attack. All you have to do is get rid of the milk, the butter, the egg, the cheese, the wheat, the peanuts, the cashews, rice especially, drop those out. And you're going to see a dramatic improvement in that asthma. Then you're going to you can take herbs now to clean it out. Herbs that's readily available, like the mullein, the comfrey leaf, and the lungwort. One spoon of each of those will make you 2 cups of tea. You drink 2 cups of that every day. Mm. You take a spoon of olive oil, crush a peg of garlic, put it in with a couple dash of cayenne pepper. Take that twice a day. That's a natural antibiotic. It will neutralize any infections, fungus, virus in the system, while that mucus is in there, so you don't catch no infection, because the mucus is where the germ lodge and breed and multiply the parasite that cause the infection. So that's a natural antibiotic. That's a regular antibiotic. If you want a stronger antibiotic now, then you change from the cayenne pepper and use the black pepper instead. The black pepper, change that into a strong antibiotic.
Oh, that's interesting. So black pepper is a stronger antibiotic than cayenne?
Than cayenne pepper. Use it in that effect. You can use olive oil or coconut oil, crush a peg of garlic, put in the spoon. Then you put a couple dash of black pepper or cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper mostly for children. The black pepper, now you can use it for children also if it's a serious infection or virus or whatever. You can use the black pepper. Can't make it into a stronger antibiotic. And you see coconut oil now, that's very good, because coconut oil has the lecithin that balances the brain chemicals. And it has iodine that nourish and regulate the glands. You see coconut oil stays liquid in the bloodstream. It lubricates the red blood cells so they can stick together. You'd never get a blood clot or a heart attack if you're using coconut oil. My grandmother used to give us coconut oil to drink every 2 weeks or so, like a half cup of coconut oil to drink. Because it keeps it kills parasites in the stomach, it lubricates everything. It prevents the blood cells from sticking together because it stays liquid in the bloodstream. It lubricates the red blood cells so they can stick together. You never get a blood clot or a heart attack. It also lubricate the walls of the veins and the arteries and the capillaries, so you don't get no buildup of plaque. And if you have plaque already, it's going to loosen the plaque, break it up, and bring it out. And it gives the veins and arteries that elasticity, so it can stretch without rupturing. We have everything we need. We have everything we need. You have some good doctors out there, but doctors are really under pressure, so they can't really expand their consciousness, or they might lose their license and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So they have to just toe the line, you know. But I know a lot of doctors that I work with can't let nobody know because they can get in trouble. But you can see where everything is changing because the consciousness of the people is rising. At this time, when we are at the end of the cycle, where the highest consciousness of us from that time to now going to take over.
Mm.
You see? So within 5 to 7 years' time, everything going to be okay. Those who go through this 7 year period of Ogme, which we're in the second year now, but we have a lot of tribulation to go through within the next 5-6 years.
I believe it. You can see
so
it.
So we just have to stand firm and maintain the faith. And like the Messiah said, anything you need, you ask your heavenly mother and the Father will grant it to you.
Mm.
The mother is the key. Ask the mother, the Father give it to you. That's what the Messiah say in his true writings, not the writing they give us now to read. In his true teachings.
And
the true
Roman
writings of the Messiah. He
not
always
Roman
tell us.
Yeah.
And what the Messiah taught to the women, you know, he never taught to the men.
Hmm.
You know, Mary Magdalene was the head of his apostles. Peter and those guys were just disciples, you see. People that he needed around him. So yeah, Peter, Judas, you hold the money. Peter, you make sure we have a boat to take us here. You make sure we have a room to stay in. And he had those disciples. He would teach them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But he had 7 female apostles. Apostles are different from disciples.
Uh-huh.
The apostles is who he gave the power. What he teach to Mary Magdalene, he never teach to none of them. And Peter was always jealous of Mary Magdalene. Because the Messiah, what he teach the women, he never teach to the men. And Peter asked him one time, how come you always telling the women things you never tell us? He said, because men have ego, and they're going to use the knowledge for their own personal benefit. So he had 7 female apostles who was, they say anywhere he was, he had one on his right, one on his left, one behind him, and they say the rest was always standing afar because they had power. The Romans, nobody touched them because they had the power that the Messiah gave to them. Messiah gave them power. Woman rule.
Excuse me, is this the kind of knowledge that is available in Ethiopia, where you go?
Yes.
So it's a different, it's a non-Roman view of Christianity.
Yes. You see, but what happened when the church broke away, you know, when the Eastern Church broke away from the Roman Church, when the Romans wanted to change everything around, and came up with the little Mickey Mouse doctrine that they came up with. You see, they had to take out a lot of the books and a lot of the apostles, like the Shepherds of Hermas, the Book of Mary Magdalene, the Gospel of Thomas, all those books they had to take away, and they replaced it with other writings, or they took the writings and changed up little to suit their objectives.
Yeah, no,
their objectives. But the Messiah never teach. A lot of what they say the Messiah teach, he never teach. The Messiah was a Buddhist. That he only preached for 3 years. 30 years he was up in Tibet and India reasoning with the high masters, setting up the plan for us that we are implementing now. The Messiah was a healer, you know. He used to heal people. In Ethiopia, I read a book where it show you how the Messiah used to all take people, man sick, you know, and have parasites, and the Messiah say, put some sheep milk in a glass and in a bowl and put it in the sun till it starts to bubble, and bring it. And when they put it at his nose, and the parasite in his stomach smell it and come up through his mouth. And they say, oh, the Messiah grabbed the parasite and take it out and kill it with a stone. You know, it's those kind of things he used to do that the poor people used to follow him around. Mostly for the healing, and they would get a meal every now and again, you know, and at the same time he would preach to them the spiritual doctrine at the same time. But the hook that he brought them in with was to heal them physically so they could get the message, the spiritual message clear. You can't you can't get a spiritual knowledge when you're in pain. So he tried to heal them first. Then after that, you know, the Romans did what they did. But I'm going to tell you, the Romans really didn't want to crucify him, you know, because I, echelon of the Roman Empire, used to listen to him, but the Romans never wanted to kill him, crucify mm-hmm. him. That's mm-hmm. why them washed him out of the whole thing. But the Messiah didn't, Messiah was a spiritual being. He could come out of his physical body at will. The only reason why he submit to that was to prove a point that there's no such thing as death and that the physical body was nothing but a garment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the point he was trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
You see
just
what I mean?
As you were saying, yeah, just as you were saying earlier about the body being just a garment.
Yes, yes. This is just a physical garment. And the brain now, the brain is what they're trying to make. Western science is trying to create a computer that will do what the brain do, but nobody can create a computer like the one we have. We are mm-hmm. in control of the brain. That's the computer that we use. The speed of it and the capacity, they can build nothing that can have the capacity of your brain and the speed which in your brain can function. The more you get to use knowledge of it, is the more you can use it more
mm-hmm.
effectively.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, so the brain, you know, the universal mind is where all knowledge lies, in the universal mind. The universal mind is the mind of the Creator, where all knowledge lies. The brain is the computer that we use to download information from the universal mind, and then that brain downloads that information into our consciousness. We got it. It's a simple thing, you know, it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple that a baby can deal with it. Herbalism is not just about the physical body. We have a physical, a mental, and a spiritual system. They all have to be in harmony for us to have good health.
And
so when you are teaching, you have to teach physical, mental, and spiritual, or else the physical knowledge you give them going to be temporary and unbalanced without the spiritual foundation, which is everlasting.
Gotcha.
I agree.
And it has to, and it also flows into how we look at the plants that we work with.
Yes.
They have spiritual qualities too.
Sure, and they can link with us and communicate with us.
Yep.
Plants can tell you things, and you go and lay at the root of a redwood tree. On the mighty red, we just lay and just open your consciousness to it and just maybe might doze off a little. That redwood tree will tell you things about the whole environment, show you how the whole environment was a million. It's like within its lifetime, show you the whole change and tell you things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to stay in harmony with nature. We have to live in harmony with the natural laws of nature.
So, Babarsan, I think we're going to wrap this up now.
Yes.
And I want to remind everybody that first there's a book. Wherever you are in the world, you can get this. You can order this book, Basic Herbs for Health and Healing by Rasan Abdul-Hakim. And then if you happen to be in the Bronx, you should definitely pay a visit at the Sundial store on Boston Post Road. That's 222 and 223.
Yeah, we have a garden, you know, we have a garden where we let the wild herbs grow. So you can come, in summertime, anybody can come by and we take you on a nice little nature walk around the yard.
Great, and then there's your daily radio show at 101.5 FM at 11:30 a.m.
Yes. Linkage Radio.
We're going to see if we can find a link
and
let people know about that.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate the time that you've spent with us sharing these insights. And
the pleasure is mine. Believe me. Trust me. The pleasure, the pleasure is mine. I like to do this because it's my job.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing it, too.
I hope to meet you soon. I can't meet you. What's happening?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. I'm going down south for a couple of months. And
yes.
I'm going to go to Mexico. I'm also going to go to Cuba.
Yes.
I don't know if there's anything for me, want me to look for you in Cuba, anything to look at or look into when I'm down there, because they have a whole world of plants, too, down there.
I'm going to write down a couple of plants to tell you to check out when you're in Cuba.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so
good.
I think Cuba is another place.
Oh,
when it comes to herbs and the herbal medicines and things like that. I mean, you're going to see a lot of things. Going to the countryside.
That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to spend half the time in Havana and then half the time in the countryside with a friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know some brethren down there, some Rasta brethren in Cuba. And I'm going to try to see if I can make some contact for you. Because
okay.
They would really take you and show you because they live the life.
Wow, in Cuba they do.
Yes, they're the Rastafari in Cuba. The ones up here is okay, but most time it's city running.
Yeah,
but the Rastafari in Cuba, they really follow the precepts, you know, and they know about the plants. I'm going to see if I can get a number for you that when you get there you can call somebody.
All right.
And they will come and take you around.
Oh, that'd be great. I'll send you an email so that you have my email.
Okay, good.
Well, great. Babar-san, thank you so much again, and great to spend time with you.
Same here. Peace and blessings to you.
And to you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.